To the Lord and say, Lord, because you live, I can face tomorrow. Because you live, Father Lord, all fear is gone. Hallelujah. 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 What a wonderful time of worship we are having. I praise God. Hallelujah. As we are standing, I would like you to open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to read a few verses. Ephesians chapter 4. We will be reading from verses 1 to 6 and a couple of verses after that, 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. As you all know, we have been going through the series called 7 Attributes of a Healthy Church. 7 Attributes of a Healthy Church. We want our church to be healthy. And today the subject that we are going to be speaking about is Healthy Churches Live Out Unity. Healthy Churches Live Out Unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 and verses 11 to 13. I will be reading in New King James Version Bible. But you can follow with me in your own Bible. These are the words of Apostle Paul. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then we will skip over and go to verse number 11 to 13. And he, that is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Heavenly Father, we are before your word this morning. I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Stir up, Father Lord, what is hidden inside and help us to obey you. Today I pray that let us not only be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of your word, I pray. I thank you, Father, for this morning. I give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated in God's presence. For the past 2 weeks, we have started on this series called 7 Attributes of a Healthy Church. Above all, I desire our church, Carolina's Christian Assembly, to be a healthy church. A church is not measured by the number of people that comes on a Sunday morning. A church is measured by what truly happens within and outside the four walls, through the people. We need to understand the great mystery of the church. Many people think a good church should be a very large congregation. It is not true. If that was the case, when God chose Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said, you were the fewest of all people. I did not choose you because you are large in number, but because I loved you. And we are a called out set of believers. We have specific tasks that God has entrusted for us to do today, and that is what I want to speak about. So today we are going to speak about the fact that healthy churches live out unity. In 1980, the US Olympic team defeated the seemingly undefeatable, unbeatable team from the USSR in the Olympic semi-final before they went to win the gold medal for the first time in history. It was considered as one of the greatest moments of sporting history. What exactly happened was that a group of young, talented individuals decided to operate as a team, and they knew each other, and the way the coach and they practiced was that they came as an effective, unified team. It was not the individual talents that made them effective. It was their ability to combine together as a team, and they had a goal in purpose, and they achieved that goal. A healthy church looks like an effective team that is able to implement what the purpose is. A hockey team, their purpose is to win games and win the medal. Our purpose is what God designed us. A church has certain purposes. And so, that purposes need to be fulfilled. And when everybody come together, we all come together and work as a team, we can accomplish much more than we can ever do alone. A good example is the first century church. A group of disciples of Jesus who were uneducated, ignorant, fishermen, tax collectors, people who had no individual charisma, but when they got together and God started working through them, God did mighty miracles. Hallelujah. It says that the first century church turned their world upside down. A few disciples of Jesus took the world, operated in unity. And that we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. I don't want to read that. But let me tell you that it requires a passion and it requires an excellence to fulfill the mission that God has for the church. It is not how we do things individually, but what we do things together, collectively as a group. This is a vision that God has given me in the church. As a pastor, God has given me the spiritual leadership, but then the work that the church needs to do is not through one man, it's through all of us. We have to pull in our talents and our resources. Yesterday night you heard wonderful preaching in Hindi. If I want to preach, I cannot. None of us can preach. God gave talent and God gave the ability to one brother here. Similarly in Tamil, we know that some of our brothers, they are able to lead and they are able to preach and they are able to sing. And each of us can do certain things that God has given us a skill. What we need to do is not who is greater or who is smaller or who can do it, but we need to be available. It's not the ability that matters. It is our availability to do the purposes of God. Amen. When as a group of individuals get together, we can accomplish great things for God. We can do extraordinary things. Now, when we talk about unity, it is not uniformity. There are two distinct words. When we are talking about unity, what we are talking is that we complement one another. We complement one another with the talents that God has given us. We complement each other with what we can offer. So we all work together as one body in Christ. And we fulfill the common purpose that God has. Just like a body, if you look at your body, our body has many members. But all the members don't do other work. The hand does not start walking. The feet does not start feeding your mouth. Your ears does not look. It has its function of hearing. Your eyes has a function of seeing. Your mouth has a function. Internal organs have a function. each of our organs of our body has a particular function. And the problem is that if one part of the body breaks down, the whole body will suffer. Hallelujah. So, collectively, we are the body of Christ, which is the local church. And we need to understand that we need to work together collectively, looking at our talents for the glory of God. Can we turn to the passage that we read here? Ephesians chapter 4 is a major break in the letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers. Ephesians 4 starts the second half of the epistle where Apostle Paul is emphasizing on practical theology. And it includes the behavior of Christian believers when they follow the doctrines that he presented in the first half. So if you look at the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3 speaks about the doctrinal aspect, and chapters 4 to 6 speaks about our practical way how we can adopt the doctrine that God has given us. So when we understand that every believer's life should match the excellency of his or her call of God in Christ Jesus. Now in the first three chapters, it deals with the calling of a Christian believer. And the last three chapters deal with Apostle Paul urging the believers to walk a way that is worthy of their calling. You need to walk according to the call of God that Christ has for you in your life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1 says, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. Remember, Apostle Paul is incarcerated in a Roman prison. He is in shackles. He is in a house arrest. He is somewhere incarcerated in a prison. And he is writing a letter to the Ephesian church and says, I, Paul, I am a prisoner of the Lord. But he says, I am begging you. Look at the tone of Apostle Paul. He says, he's pleading. I beg you. I request you. I am falling on your feet. Please do this. And what is he saying? He says that we need to walk worthy of the calling by which you have been called. Each of us, let me tell you, you have a call of God in your life. Our walk should be worthy of the calling of God that God has placed in our life. What does walk mean? It is our lifestyle. A worthy walk is a lifestyle which is consistent with our position as a member of the body of Christ. Our lifestyle should be consistent as a member of the body of Christ. In verse number 3, Paul starts to stress about the importance of you living in unity. In verse number 3, Apostle says that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. Paul says you should endeavor, you should attempt, you should try to keep the unity that God desires in our lives. And when we do that, God will help us to together do the work, the great task that God has given to us. Now there are three virtues that Apostle Paul speaks here. When you turn to look to your Bible, verse number 2, everyone, those who have your Bibles, look to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 2. There are three virtues that should follow you, or you should adopt when you are maintaining the unity in the church. Three virtues. One, humility. Two, gentleness. And three, patience. In another translation, it says humility or lowliness. Gentleness. And then it says long suffering or patience. We need to adopt these three virtues that God has given us. Do you know that when we do that, we are duplicating what Christ did? Turn with me to the book of Philippians. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Let us understand the attitude of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. As the body, we need to be in same alignment with the head of the church, that is Jesus Christ. And what was his attitude? If you look Philippians chapter 2, I will read a few verses, 5 to 8. It says, Apostle Paul is again speaking to another church in Philippi and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider the robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Amen. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He was King of Kings and God, Lord of Lords. He was the creator of the universe. He stepped down from his throne. He came down to this world. He humbled himself to become a man. Not only become a man, he became a servant. Not only did he become a servant, he went to the very rock bottom by being willing to die for us on the cross. The worst death that anybody can take, Jesus, step by step, he's moving down and down. And he is our prime example of the humility that we need to adopt in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we have that humility, when we are gentle, and when we have the patience, we will be able to work with one another. Sometimes we don't have patience with each other. Oh, he's too slow. She does not sing well. Oh, he does not play well. I'm telling you, we need to have that patience. Amen. And we need to be bearing with everyone together, because we are part of the body of Christ. And when we do that, we can have the unity that God desires in our life. Look to verse number 6 and 7. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's come back here. There are seven elements that unite the believers in a church. Seven elements. Look here. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. We all share the same one. We have one God the Father. We are one in Christ. We share one faith. We don't have two faiths. We have the baptism of water, where we have confessed our discipleship to Jesus. One baptism. And that is what we should move forward. We should work together. We should take away our petty attitudes. Sometimes I think, oh, I am too wise, or I am too clever, or I am too handsome, or I am too beautiful to associate with the next person. No, we should have humility where we will be able to adopt the other person as our brother and sister. Because that is what God's plan was, that we all work together for the glory of God. And how is that produced? Through the Holy Spirit, who brings the bonds of unity within us. And then, let me skip to verse number 13. You know, the aim of a church. The church has certain ministries. We see the ministries there: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the offices of a church. The role of a church is to equip the body, that you can do the work that God has designed for you. And the end result of a church is that, in look to verse number 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and say, praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Do you know, dear brothers and sisters, God wants us to be united. Hallelujah. United we stand, divided we fall. This is true in the church. Whatever we decide, we are one. We are one family. We belong to one God. We have one Father. And that is how we have to move forward. We have to put an effort into maintaining that unity in the church. Let me read a couple of verses here, which is not going to be displayed on the screen. Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. We need to prefer the other person beyond us. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Many times we think, I am the smartest person here. I know more. Especially when the pastor starts preaching, if he has got only 4 points, he says, I can make 7 points out of this sermon, sitting there on the pew. This is what we think. But let me tell you, that we have to not be wise, we have to be humble, we have to be of the same mind, and we have to maintain the humility that God has given us. And more than that, we should have peace with God and peace with one another. We are one in Jesus Christ, and we should make the spiritual unity into a practical unity as well. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 says like this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. But you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we bring it to the terms of our church, let me tell you very frankly, there is neither Malayali or a Tamilian. There is neither a Telugu speaking or a Hindi speaking. There is nothing. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We all are part of one family. And that is why we need to complement each other and we need to work with each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Apostle Paul is pleading. Go to your verse and check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now I plead with you brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In a church, there are no superstars. This is not a lone ranger work. It is a team effort that we all work together. And that is how we can accomplish the task that God has given us. This is my vision about the church. That together, hand in hand, whatever you may not be able to do, maybe sing. You may not be able to preach, but you can pray. You can encourage somebody. You can go do some house visitings. When people are praying, you can come and be part and say, encourage your brother. Encourage your sister. Say, go brother. You did well today. Let's encourage one another. Let us uplift one another. And not tear the person down. There are people who are attempting. And let us be able to support them if we are not able to do it ourselves. When we come to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8 and 9, this is the exhortation by Apostle Peter. He says, finally, he's bringing his first epistle to a conclusion and he's saying, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, if you read the Bible and the epistles very carefully, unity is something that God demands from us. Amen. There should be unity, number one, in a family. Between the husband and the wife. Between the parents and the children, there should be unity. Then only a family can run smoothly. When you come to a broader context of a church, there should be unity with one another. Then only we can function as the body of Christ. When you come to a country, there should be unity in a country together. And we should all stand behind what God is going to achieve through the country. So this is what is expected from us. Do you know, when Jesus, before he died, there is a prayer of Jesus that he reveals his heart for us. In the Bible, there is one prayer of Jesus that we can read how he prayed to God his Father. Turn with me to John chapter 17. I want you to read that. Verse number 20 and 21. I'm just taking two verses, but I want us to read that portion what Jesus prayed. You know, standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed for us. Today, for us who are alive today, Jesus prayed standing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look to verse number 20 and 21. This is what Jesus prayed. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Which means us today. Who we will believe in him
through his word. And then in verse number 21, I want you to mark your Bibles if you have a pen. Strongly read this and mark it down. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. This unity is not only for us, but it is also so that the world will believe that we are truly the children of God. One of the problems of Pentecostal churches, and I will be very open and bold to you and say, this is the Pentecostal churches where there is no unity. Nobody wants to be together. They're all fighting. They try to pull each other. Somebody is climbing. You will try to defame that person, speak bad about the person, tell 10 people, oh, how bad he is. Somebody tries to do a good work. Instead of appreciating it, you will try to pull the person down, tear him down, break him with words. If somebody sings, you will try, oh, you did not sing well. You did not sing to scale. If somebody plays, oh, your playing was not good. Why are we doing this? Let's encourage one another. Let's uplift one another. Let's hold each other up so that we can do greater things for the glory of God. You know what will happen if the church functions in unity? We will do as God will do. We will accomplish God-sized things. We will attract others from outside the church. And we will lead people to become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you one small thing which really touched me when I was studying and meditating on the subject. As I told you about the team, how a team can function greatly. But when a team starts to function, there is something called synergy. I don't know if you have ever heard the word. It's called synergy. Synergy is when we combine our efforts and work as a team, the result is much bigger than our input. That's called a synergy. The Bible speaks about synergy in a few verses. I will speak to you very quickly. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 8 says, Leviticus chapter 26 verse 8, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So, instead of the 5, when 100 comes together, it becomes 5 times more effective. Instead of 2,000, they will chase 10,000 people. In Joshua chapter 23 verse 10 says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, it is he who fights for you as he has promised. When God will fight for us, one person can chase 1,000, which is 1,000 times effective. And God of Israel will give us the strength and power, as it is recorded in Psalms 68 verse 35. Let me bring this subject to a conclusion here. You know, this may be the reason why the Lord Jesus chose 12 disciples and not one person. When he picked up his disciples, Jesus chose a team of 12 disciples for the great task of propagating the kingdom of God. That we read in Luke chapter 9 verse 1 to 6. After that, he chose 70 other disciples and sent them in teams of two. So, two people unitedly can do greater than one person. And so today, our church should be a united group of people as we join with each other and be like-minded. And through teamwork, we can not only accomplish great tasks for God, but we can also fight a common enemy. Do you know who is our enemy? Satan. We all have a common enemy. And that is Satan. How many of you believe that? I've heard a story about in Africa, when the lions come to attack the buffaloes. You know, the buffaloes are harmless beasts. But when a lion comes near a herd of wild buffaloes,
And I don't know, I cannot establish if this is true, but I've heard this. The buffaloes, they have the big horns. When a lion is about to charge at a herd of buffaloes, instead of all of them standing on one direction here and there, they all interlock. They all interlock their horns, and all of them stand as a wall. And the lion is about to pounce, and then he sees this united group of wild buffaloes locking horns, and they charge at the lion, and the lion runs for his life. The lion cannot stand, and he cannot kill a single one because they are all together interlock their horns. Today we have a common enemy who comes to fight against us. Our church should be like the members of a body. Christ is the head of the body. There is no other head. He is the only supreme head of our body. Christ is the head of the body, and we are the members of the church. We should work together to do the purpose of God. Do you know what is the purpose of God? How many of you remember what is God's purpose for us? Fulfill the Great Commission. That is God's purpose for us today. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the world. We need to work together in unity, my brothers and sisters. Let me ask you this. Personally, are you united with other people? As a family, are you united with other families? God has a great plan for this church. Slowly, God is unveiling His plan. I can see. But we all need to be united. If there is any disunity among us, it's because Satan is trying to bring divisions in our church. We are one in Christ. We are brothers and sisters of one family, with one God as our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we make a plan and a pledge to work together for the glory of God? Can we all stand up on our feet right now? I want us to all make a decision today, Lord. I know I'm finding a lot of faults in our many things that others do, but I'm not going to be somebody who's going to criticize and complain and murmur. I'm going to be somebody who will encourage and bless and assist and pray for and help, Lord, to do the work of the gospel. I know my brothers and sisters are all talented in different talents. I'm not going to sit back and look and criticize, but I'm going to go put my hand on the plow. I'm going to put my hand on the plow. I'm going to together reap the harvest that God has placed for us in this city. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. We need to join in the harvest that God is bringing in this end time. We need to be bonded in unity and in love. This is God's desire for us. The thief comes to steal, and comes to destroy. But God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we pray, Lord, help us to be working in unity. Let us not sit at the sidelines. Many of us can do so much more in this church. I truly believe. Many of us. But you are sitting on the sideline. You are either booing or maybe cheering some people. But you know, we are all players together. As a team, we have to play. You need to get into the field. Not be a spectator in the bystand and booing or cheering, but you need to come to the field. And we all need to do the work that God has given for us. This is a great work that God has entrusted. It cannot be done by a single person. It cannot be done by two or three. We all have to combine our efforts together. Hallelujah. This is my vision of the church. And this is why we are doing a Tamil worship. We are doing a Hindi worship. We are doing different things so that God gets the glory. And we are able to attract different people into the kingdom of God. I want to close with a prayer that Apostle Paul prayed in Romans chapter 15. I want you all to close your eyes for a moment. Every one of you, close your eyes. I want you to listen to this prayer that Apostle Paul prayed. Now may the God of patience and comfort
grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be of with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For a minute, can you just surrender yourself before God and say, Lord, you have given me time, you have given me some talents, you have given me some resources. Let me not sit on the sidelines and not do anything. Lord, let me come and volunteer my services for the kingdom of God. Let us do the works of the ministry. Let us do with... The time is very short, brothers and sisters. We hear about death all the time. People dying young. Don't think you have a long life to live. When God calls you, we will go. But before that, let us do the work that He has for us. Let us not be lazy. Let us not bury our talents under the ground. Let us use our talents for the glory of God, for the extension of His kingdom. Can you surrender yourself before God and say, Lord, help me to be a part of the masterpiece of the church. Christ, you are the foundation. You are the cornerstone. You are building your church. You said, I will build my church, and the gates of hate shall not prevail against it. I want to be a part of this building effort. I want to be used as a useful vessel in your hands. Use me, Lord, in whatever capacity. I'm not able to sing. I'm not able to preach. I'm not able to do great things. But whatever I can do, Lord, help me to do it. Help me to join hand in hand and do the work of the ministry today. There's a song that as I was meditating, this is a song I've heard when I was a child, and I love the song. It's called Bind Us Together. Bind Us Together. We are going to pray this as we are going to close our service today. Bind us together, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah.
Together, Lord, bind us together in thoughts that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together with
love. One more time.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with thoughts that cannot be broken. Bind us together, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God. There is only one King. There is only one God. That is why we sing. Bind us together.
Let's all sing together. Lift up your voices.
Thoughts that cannot be broken. One more.
bind us, Lord.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with God. Bind us together.
One more time. Bind us together.
Bind us together.
A question to you. You are standing in the house of the Lord this morning time. Are you having a grief against your brother or sister as you stand in God's presence this morning? Do you harbor a resentment against somebody else? Do you have a case where you cannot greet and give a hug and accept a brother or sister who is standing with you? This morning, you need to ask forgiveness. You need to ask forgiveness from God. You need to ask forgiveness from your brother or sister. The Word of God says when you come to the house to give a gift and you remember that your brother has got something against you, leave the gift there, go back, get reconciled with your brother, and come and offer the gift. Many of us harbor a lot of animosity in our hearts as we sit in God's presence, and we expect God to say yes, and we expect God to answer our prayers, when we are not willing to forgive someone. We are not willing to shake their hand. We are not giving to love them. We are not willing to work out of a unified heart. This morning the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You cannot harbor a grievance in your heart and move forward. You need to get right with everyone. That is why Jesus died. He died for all. He just didn't die for a few people. He died for all. We have to look through the eyes of Jesus on the people and on the fallen humanity around us. Jesus died for all. Lord, make me like you. On the cross, he was hanging at the point of death. He had bled his entire blood out and he was bleeding. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus exemplified his character by forgiving his enemies who spat on him, who beat him up, who made him drag the cross, who pulled his beard. We are his children today, brothers and sisters. If you are not able to forgive your brothers and your sisters, how do you expect God to forgive you of what you have done? Can you surrender your hearts before the Lord before we depart from here? I pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit today, I speak to each and every one of you. If you harbor iniquity in your heart, God is not going to hear your prayers. I'm speaking on authority of the Word of God. If you regard iniquity in your heart, if you have unforgiveness in your life, if you are not reconciled with your brother and your sister, truly from the heart, you are not willing to go and ask forgiveness. If you have wounded somebody in their hearts, and you stand and worship the Lord today, raising your hands, God looks at your heart. He's not caring about your outside. He's looking at the innermost of your heart. If your heart is true to God. Hallelujah. Can we just pray for ourselves for a moment? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my resentments. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful worship service that you gave us. You are our God. We were enemies. We were good for nothing, but you chose us from the filth. You brought us out of the miry clay. You put us upon a rock, gave a new song in our mouth. made us part of your family, gave us a name, gave us an inheritance, gave us a future. You've given us everything, Lord, that we do not deserve. Hallelujah. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. You gave everything that you had. Even your last drop of blood you gave to us. Help us to be more like you, Father. Bind us with cords of love today and in the days to come. I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, you know each and every heart. I pray that you make a heart of flesh. Help us to forgive one another. Give us humility, Lord. Make us gentle. Help us to be forgiving. Let us not bear a grudge against one another. Help us to be, Lord, loving each other, Lord. Because that is your commandment. I pray that you bless us, O Father, even as we depart from here. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do, Father. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray.